on social media and relationships. Your world is going to be very different than my world. You'll never know a world like the one I grew up in. And while this has always been the case, generation to generation, I do believe that we are in a unique transitional space as my generation and yours navigates relationships mediated by social media technologies. Most of the research on social media as regards our relationships is resoundingly, uniformly, and strikingly negative. Use of social media correlates with depression, relational unhappiness, and feelings of isolation and jealousy. I can tell you that I feel and am distressed by an anxiety when I have unread notifications, or even worse, if I can't find my phone or if the battery on it dies. I think anytime we feel that anxiety, when we feel discomforted and owned by something, we then have an obligation to examine it. To be honest, boys, I struggle with using social media in ways that are healthy and which I don't resent. Your experience and the mediums that you engage will likely be different than my own, but I've tried to consider the issue in broad enough terms that hopefully my thoughts here will still be relevant even as the technology evolves. First, know that it's a mistake to confuse being connected through a phone or social media with having real, genuine, deep, personal connections. While it is certainly possible, and I've done it, to find and create real and meaningful relationships using social media, I think this is the exception rather than the rule. And I also think that eventually an online relationship has to progress into the real world if that relationship is going to grow and mature. I think that at least as often as we develop rewarding, mutually satisfying online connections, we now also live with a burdensome anxiety induced by our need to be constantly available, to seek validation, and to measure ourselves against and by relationships with people we have never met. We have to find a way to keep the best parts of these tools while being cautious and realistic about their drawbacks. We receive notifications when people message us, and I think, instinctively, most of us feel an obligation to that notification. Someone, after all, wants our attention. Someone wants to talk, to connect, and that feels good, so that notification gets addressed. When we do this, we are making the person reaching out to us our priority. Our expectations have changed so that we now build and maintain online relationships on an on-demand basis. But if we are not conscious of how we manage this, our time becomes controlled by someone else, which means that how we dole out our most precious commodities, which are time and attention, are now being dictated by the whims and demands of other people. The desire to respond to a tone or a blinking light creates a feeling of obligation that means you are always available, that your time is their time, and that you owe someone a response because someone has reached out to you. This is a mistake, and the research is extremely clear on this. Remember that receiving a message or a notification does not obligate your time to someone else. You are not on someone else's clock. Be mindful of how you control your availability to others. Decide who you really have an obligation and a responsibility to, and most importantly, choose when you want to be available, and block off time when you are happily unavailable. When you are with people in real life, practice keeping your phone in another room. When someone is with you in person, they are giving you their actual physical time and attention. Respect that and give them yours as well. Be present with the people that are present with you. Be mindful of where you seek your validation from as well. Online validation and attention feeds basic reward centers in our minds, and everyone wants and needs validation. Real validation, however, validation that lasts and that feeds your deepest self, validation that isn't fleeting and which doesn't need to be reloaded, will come from people who know you or interact with you on a significant level. Validation from people we respect and who know us will matter more deeply because we inherently acknowledge that this validation comes from a place that matters. Seek validation in your life from these relationships, and be wary of putting too much stock in validation or criticism from people who don't know you. We are hardwired to react to both compliments and criticism, and the online world will present you with no dearth of both. Be careful about placing too much stock in either. Seek attention and validation from those you most admire, and you will require less and less of it to feel centered and happy. Similarly, accept criticism seriously only from the same people. What value is criticism from someone you don't know and who doesn't really know you? Choose not to engage or accept criticisms or harsh remarks from people you don't know, and it will have no impact on your sense of self-worth. Be also vigilant not to measure yourself against someone's online version of who they are. Remember, our online personas are just that. They are personas. They're almost characters. We instinctively understand that our own version of our lives and ourselves that we show people online is a heavily curated version of the truth. We put up our best photos in the most flattering light. We post our smiles, our adventures, and our triumphs. Some people post their deepest thoughts or vent their frustrations, hurt, and anger, but no matter how we choose to use social media, we are always curating an image. The fullness and honesty of that image is always definitionally different than the image of ourselves that we convey through interactions that involve our body language, that involve our actions as well as our words, our moments we don't get to delete or filter, our moments we don't get to write and edit. Remember that if this is true for you, it's just as true for every other person that you know online. Be careful of measuring the real you against someone's curated self. It's not a fair comparison, and it's likely you will do this unconsciously. Monitor your feelings and responses, and be honest about how you feel. Boys, I have no doubt that this advice will seem almost hopelessly anachronistic when you get to it. In many ways, for most people in my generation, I imagine that it already does. Social media has changed my life for the better. I'm not blind to the benefits and ubiquity of social media in our lives, but like any significant tool to relate to others, we have to be thoughtful about how we engage these tools, when we engage them, and how engaging them changes the nature of our relationships with ourselves and with others. Do not take these things for granted. Be intentional men, boys, in all things.